and we're joined on the line by the president of Sinn Féin and TD for Dublin Central, Mary Lou MacDonald. Mary Lou, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Gavin.
Thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime. You and others are raising concerns today about the impact of the temporary wage subsidy scheme, particularly as it relates to women who have been on maternity leave, for example.
Yes, there is a set of women who are excluded from this payment because of their maternity leave, and it is unfair. It's arguably discriminatory to put these new mothers in this position. So we've been in contact with the minister and with the government since the end of April on this issue, to-ing and fro-ing. The government seem to be suggesting that they can't actually fix this anomaly. But I don't believe that that's the case, and I have therefore written to all of the party leaders to urge that we sort this out very, very quickly. Gavin, you might remember that previously the Minister for Finance actually did make a change to the scheme when he upped the level of subvention from 70 to 85%, and he did that by way on what's called an administrative basis. So he instructed Revenue to make the change. The change has been made on the understanding and pending a change and amendment to the legislation. And that's what should happen here. This needs to get fixed. I know that for women in this situation who have been out on their maternity leave, who now have a newborn child at home, and all of the stresses and strains that every family across the country is now under because of the public health emergency and so on, really to be excluded in this way is just, you know, for many people the last straw, and it just needs to be fixed. The good news is that it can be fixed, and I'm urging the minister and the government to move very quickly on this. There's no excuse or reason for delay.
Well, the government says that it can't be fixed, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. Just before I do, though, is it the case that this could end up creating something of a two-tier system among those returning back to work? Because if the cut-off point is those who are on the payroll as of February the 29th, then you could have people who were only taking their statutory 26 weeks who would still be on their payrolls and then could still be paid under the subsidy scheme. But those who had chosen to take additional unpaid time, are they the ones then who don't qualify for the subsidy?
Well, there's that, but there's more to the point. You have a distinction between those employers that top up employees when they're in receipt of maternity benefit and those who don't.
Okay.
So there is one differential. Look, the idea and the objective of the scheme is to maintain that relationship between employer and employee. All of us believe that that's the right thing to do. When somebody takes their leave, when a woman takes leave for maternity purposes, her status as an employee is protected in law, and that protection ought to be reflected in this scheme. It's entirely wrong to have one set of employees who are legitimately on leave, who are still very much employees of a concern or an enterprise, and to have them excluded.
Well,
on a simple basis of fairness, Gavin, I think everyone can appreciate that that's unfair. But more to the point, there is an onus on employers and the state not to discriminate against people because they have taken maternity leave.
Sure.
Their rights have to be protected. And I think this flies in the face of that.
Well, I got a statement this morning from the Department of Finance, and they say that those rights are protected. They say that they sent quite a long statement, but the final paragraph is that it's understood that although the employer may not be able to claim the temporary wage subsidy for a person who hasn't been on the payroll on the 29th of February, but who is entitled to return to work after that date, the employer remains obliged to honour their obligations as an employer as the full suite of employment rights legislation continues to apply in relation to all employees and their employers for the duration of the crisis. In other words, although the employer is not allowed to claim the revenue subsidy for someone coming back from maternity leave, if they have a contract of employment and they're coming back to work, the employer is still required to pay them their full wage.
Yes, but I mean, this is all happening in the context where the economy has been put to sleep, where enterprises have been directed to close down to protect public health. And this scheme, the subsidy scheme, was introduced in recognition of that fact and to support enterprises and employers and employees. So I think, with all due respect to the department and to whoever issued that statement, they're engaging in rhetoric, which is not what's needed here. What we need is the scheme to be amended to make allowance for those employees on maternity leave. And I just say again, there is a precedent to amending the scheme on an administrative basis. And I want the minister and I want the government to pursue that route. Their argument is that they couldn't make a change to the scheme because they have to introduce new legislation or amend the legislation.
Because the scheme was introduced as legislation that went through the Dáil and Shannon, and that they need to amend it again.
As we all recall, but the truth is that they have already, on a previous occasion, on an administrative basis, made a change to the scheme without legislation, and we simply need them to do that again.
But maybe that's a change that the legislation allowed them to make, because I did go looking through it this morning, and the 70% cap that was written in at the time wasn't a sort of a blanket thing, that it said that in certain circumstances higher than that, that it could be, where the income was higher than that, that the cap could be basically negotiated or decided upon at a whim by the government. So maybe that was discretion that they've always had. But the legislation, as was passed, you know, without a vote, including by your own deputies, it says that you had to be on the payroll the 29th of February. And is that maybe not a failing of everyone in Dáil Éireann, that they didn't spot this lacuna when the legislation was going through?
Well, look, the legislation was emergency in nature, and so was introduced quickly. We all recognised that there needed to be supports and that we needed to act quickly. Everybody was concerned at the time. I know I and we were concerned at the time that things were rushed, because there is always a danger when something is rushed that mistakes are made and that anomalies are entered. But then when you find those, you fix them, Gavin. And I haven't heard anybody argue that it's fair or equitable that women should be a section of women should be excluded in this way. In fact, I have heard lots of voices express the view, contrary to the government statement, that in fact this might well breach the letter of equality law, and it certainly breaches the spirit of it. So rather than sitting on their hands and issuing statements, I want the government to use this administrative mechanism to make that change, to instruct that that change is made, and to allow those women who, by the way, are still very much in the employment, they are employees legally, for them to be to enjoy the protection and cover of that scheme.
Yeah, well, certainly that's the point the department is making. They are still employees and they're entitled to their pay. They just can't get subsidised where they're doing it. On a broader point, if it were up to you, how much longer would this scheme remain in place? Would it be there in perpetuity, or would there be a deadline that, in your world, it would elapse by?
Well, obviously, everybody wants to get back to work, and people, notwithstanding the various schemes that have been introduced, are still experiencing a drop in income, and for very many people, a very uncertain time. So back to work is the plan. However, I think we need to understand that at a time where enterprises have been closed down, where we accept, and I mean, the government's own exit plan signals that many, many people will not expect to be back to work until August into September and beyond that, that you really shouldn't be threatening now to taper off or to discontinue these schemes. We believe that they will have to continue certainly until the end of this year. And of course, then they will have to be reviewed. And all the while, the focus has to be on supporting enterprises and businesses to get back up and running again safely as soon as they can.
But if the roadmap says that some businesses can't go back to work until August the 10th, it's your position that the wage subsidy scheme should remain in place until as long as those businesses are forced to shut?
Well, absolutely. If the state is saying, you know, if we are saying you cannot reopen your doors, if that's the position on the basis of public health advice, well, then obviously the schemes and supports that you're on have to be consistent with that. That's just a matter of common sense.
What would that cost, do you know?
It's expensive. There is no doubt. I think the figures are from the department. If I don't have them in front of me, if I recall right, that it's €500 million, €500 million a week. It's a huge amount of money. But just bear in mind, that's the money that is coming into households right across the land that ensures that people can still put bread on the table and meet at least some of their bills. So we have to keep money in circulation. Families and workers have to make it through this period. And we would be, you know, quite critical of the government's approach thus far in terms of support for small and medium-sized enterprises and for business in assisting them to weather this storm and putting them in a position where they can actually get back in action quickly.
Do you feel the same about the pandemic payment? Should that be continued until the roadmap allows for everyone to go back to work, at least in theory? That the pandemic payment should be retained for the next 12 weeks?
I think so. It's only a matter of common sense that where people are by virtue of a pandemic and this virus, where people are out of work, people have to survive and people have to have some level of income coming into the house. So yes, that is our position. And I believe it's the only logical and consistent position that anybody can adopt. And having said that, let me just repeat that those supports have to continue. And all the while, we have to ramp up our efforts to assist business to survive this unprecedented economic shock, and to facilitate them to get their doors back open again.
The reason why I ask all of this is because, obviously, as you said, it would be very expensive. It's the pandemic payment, by the way, which is the one that costs €500 million a week. But if you're suggesting that should be retained for another 12 weeks, at least for some of the businesses that are being told to shut their doors until then, that's obviously far beyond the €3.7 billion the government originally set aside. The wage subsidy scheme, according to the Revenue's most recent figures, is €936 million. If you were continuing that for another 12 weeks, that would go into the billions as well. The question has to be asked, how would it all be paid for? Is it not then inherent that some cutbacks would have to be made somewhere else?
Well, there is nobody from any strand of society or any political perspective arguing anything other than this is expensive and that we are looking at a very, very high budgetary deficit. It's pitched at maybe €23 billion. It could go as high as €30 billion.
It was 23 before the €6.5 billion of business subsidies a couple of weeks ago. So that's added to it more again. Yeah. So the question then is would you propose just to borrow the difference? Will there be any proposed cutbacks under your regime at all?
Well, no, we certainly very much against the austerity approach that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in crises past have adopted. We believe that would actually make a bad situation worse in circumstances now where hundreds of thousands of people have lost their jobs, where the economy has been put to sleep. Every effort now needs to be around reawakening the economy, getting people back to work, stimulating demand. So it has to be about investment. It cannot be about cutting back and cutting back on services and consequently dampening down demand in the economy and having, again, workers and communities carry the can for crisis.
But I have to put it to you, though, that sounds a lot like what Leo Varadkar said on Friday, that he said that income taxes or, you know, increasing other payroll taxes would be the last thing he'd want to do, because he does what you want to do. He wants to try and stimulate the economy. He wants people to have money in their pockets so that when businesses do open, that people are able to go out and support those businesses. You're not all that far removed from him. He's not really advocating austerity here.
Well, I think if you listen to the conversation, not just here in Ireland, but across the continent and beyond, I think the talk is, the approach is one of stimulus and investment. And I think that's a good thing for now. However, I would say to you that the track record, not just of Fine Gael and Leo Varadkar, but also of Fianna Fáil, is not one of stimulus. It's certainly not one of supporting communities and families and workers, or indeed small business when things get tight. Quite the opposite. The history and our experience tells us that they go a different route. And that's why last week or the week before, I raised the issue of the COVID payment that you've just referred to on the floor of the Dáil, because it struck me that the Minister for Finance and others were talking about cutbacks, talking about reducing that payment, talking about phasing it out at the same time that they were saying to people, however, you're not going to be in a position to actually be back at work at that stage. Now, that is very much, in my view, Gavin, the mood music softening people up for austerity and for cutbacks. And all of us know that we have to manage our finances. We need to be very thoughtful in terms of the public purse and the best use of public monies to reboot and rebuild the economy and to protect society. And a diet of austerity and cutbacks, bearing in mind that many people were just about getting back on their feet after the last crisis and the last series of cutbacks, service providers across the public service and so on.
But is it fair when the pandemic payment was an emergency measure and the wage subsidy was an emergency measure, is it fair to say that the ending of those emergency measures is austerity?
Well,
it's the opposite of austerity when the government actively gives people more, including in some circumstances where, as we know, people have ended up slightly better off under the pandemic payment than they previously were. Yeah. And no one begrudges them the extra bit of money.
Yeah, well, but much, much more people are actually down substantially in their income levels. What is reasonable to say is this, the emergency measures that have been taken are measures of last resort. I mean, extreme measures in an extremely dangerous situation. And so the state's response has to match that. And it only makes sense that if you say, as a matter of public health, that people will not be in a position to go back to work until August, perhaps September, it might drag slightly longer. It's only fair and reasonable in circumstances like that, that the supports that the state introduces last for that length of time. There has to be a coordination between the emergency period, the emergency measures that are taken, and the emergency supports that are offered. That to me is just logical. It makes no sense to publish a plan for exiting, which says that whole sectors of the economy will still be asleep, and at the same time say, but we're going to rush ahead in terms of scaling back or tapering down the supports that families and people rely on you and I know, Gavin, just to get by day to day.
Yeah, no, I think we've got your point on that. Do you still aspire to lead a government in this Dáil, or do you now accept that Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens are going to form a government that you won't be involved in?
I certainly aspire to the kind of government that the people mandated in the election last February, which seems like an eternity ago now.
99 days is a long time in politics.
Yes, it certainly is. So much has changed in the meantime, but what hasn't changed is the fact that we need the kind of root and branch political transformation that people voted for in huge numbers in the last election. We need the houses built. We need the rental market sorted out. God knows we need our health service. We need investment in that, people's income levels, all of the things that we debated during the election.
Have I given up on being in government?
No, I don't. Yes, I still think it is a possibility. I know for sure that the position of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael not to talk to Sinn Féin and to, you know, to almost boast and brag that they will keep us out and that they're not going to talk to us has caused a situation where the numbers don't add up for anyone. They don't add up for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
No doubt, but you don't really want to talk to either of them either.
Well, no, I made it clear that I would talk to everybody, Gavin. That was my position and our position before the election. During the election, it remains my position after the election.
But you can't say that people voted for changing, you want Fine Gael out of government, and then still say you're willing to talk to them about entering it.
Well, no, but I can say this. I said that the very best outcome that we could have had from the election was a government without either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. That was best outcome. I also said that the very worst type of outcome would be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael back in government together. And now it looks as though that's what we're... they're attempting to engineer. I don't think whatever change might look like, that's certainly not change. That's more of the same administration that we had for the last four years. And in fact, you know, an echo of all previous administrations. It's whatever it is, it's certainly not change.
Mm, but when was the last time then that your negotiators had a meeting with some of the other blocs that are still in the Dáil about trying to get them on board to build a rival prospective government?
Well, there's the contact remains between ourselves and independents and the other parties. It wasn't helped by the fact that this public health emergency struck, so people aren't meeting face to face. Contacts remain. Of course, we had been talking to the Green Party. They are now otherwise engaged with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So it's not an easy situation. I mean, if I had a pat answer, or if I had it, I would happily recite it for you, Gavin.
Yeah.
But you've asked me, have I given up on prospects of government? The answer to that is no.
Because it seems difficult that you could have government talks while you've appointed three of your government negotiators to the COVID committee. You've put Louise O'Reilly, Matt Carthy and Piers Doherty onto the COVID committee as well. Surely that's an illustration that you don't think they're going to be tied up in any other talks.
No, it's not. It's an illustration that COVID committee is the sole functioning Oireachtas committee. It's a very important committee, and it will hear from, you know, the system across the board, from the health system and beyond into economy and finance, and, you know, the top officials and the acting government have to be held to account. I mean, people from all parties are going to be on that committee and indeed appear before that committee. So,
but people from other parties aren't on both the negotiating teams and on the committee. It's either one or the other. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Green Party's negotiators aren't on the COVID committee, but yours are. It sort of seems as if you stood them the team.
That's a matter for them. I have fielded very, very effective people to the committee, and others in due course will be in and out of that committee asking questions on behalf of the people, hopefully getting answers and arriving at solutions that will guide us through what is a very, very testing period for all of us.
You said the Green Party are obviously otherwise disposed at the minute. Are you still hopeful to talk to them if these talks that they're currently in right now don't yield the outcome they might want?
Well, I mean, we're open, as I've said, we're open to speaking to everybody who wishes to talk. I mean, there's sections of the Irish political establishment that prefer to operate the politics of exclusion around Sinn Féin, which I think is, you know, untenable and all the more remarkable given the emergency and the crisis that we're in now. But certainly, the Green Party will make their own decisions. They will have a choice to make in terms of what type of government they would wish to be part of. We've had discussions with them, actually very, very constructive, very productive talks over a long number of weeks. And of course, we are available to resume all of that, as with other parties who have a mandate, as we do, not to deliver the same old same, but actually to mark out a departure and to carve out a new type of government
Irish
people.
It wouldn't be the worst situation for Sinn Féin to be in, though. If you found yourselves in opposition, where the next largest opposition party were two parties that had six seats each, and you were there with 37, you'd be the dominant voice in opposition. You would be the first port of call for any opposition to the government as it would be now constituted. And you guys would then be, you know, on a good path to make gains in forthcoming elections. It wouldn't be the worst situation for you, would it?
Well, we were elected. People who voted for us, Gavin, voted for us to be in government. I mean, that much is very, very clear to me. I was out on the ground. I listened to hundreds, thousands of people who told me that things had to change and that they wanted us to be part of that. In fact, they wanted us to lead that. So that remains my objective. That's the best outcome for us. The best outcome for us is for Sinn Féin to be in government and to be in a position to deliver for the people who elected us, but also for Irish society more generally. That's the very, very best outcome for us. And this situation is still unfolding. It might be that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will succeed in excluding Sinn Féin from government. Should they succeed in that, they cannot credibly argue that they have a government of change. I mean, anybody who is really interested in the politics of change and delivering the things that were conveniently cut and paste from our manifesto for their framework document, if you're really interested in those things, honest to God, you'd be talking to us, wouldn't you? I mean, we're the party that that argued for those things, that has championed those approaches for many years, and that got a very, very substantial mandate from the Irish people on that very basis.
Okay. Mary Lou McDonald, leader of Sinn Féin, a TD for Dublin Central, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on
Thanks,
The Record.
Gavin.